fastest game on earth around the NHL right now. Brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every NHL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Holy cow, like we're about to go back on the air, gentlemen. Huh. Josh Humphries is over there. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we almost had a couple F-bombs go to air, so that's why I'm a little testy.
Say the F-word once, thank you very much.
There's somebody else in here that might have, though, and that's why I'm a little... Holy cow! No, it was not me.
Oh, love. You enjoy being in studio, don't you?
Man. Okay, let's get things back on the rails. First of all, the news from the Flames, just before we go around the NHL, Chris Breen and Mark Kandari have been recalled officially by the team, and defenseman Tyler Wotherspoon has now been shut down with season-ending shoulder surgery. So those are the two pieces of news that have come, and that's just come out now. We told you a little while ago that we were talking last night. Wotherspoon was going to get shut down. I just didn't know what the injury was. Now we know. Season-ending shoulder surgery. As I understand it, they were hoping to have Wotherspoon miss last night's game, but weren't able to get a recall in time, and therefore they played Wotherspoon. He was able to play through the injury, and you didn't see him play in the final 5 minutes, and now they're shutting him down for the rest of the season with that season-ending shoulder surgery. So Josh, to your point earlier, not going to be able to help Abbotsford out in the postseason either, which is kind of unfortunate. So that's bad news.
Playoff experience gone there for him too. That sucks.
Although, luckily, with the Portland Winterhawks, he's got plenty of playoff experience.
Yeah, he's got plenty of junior, but it would have been nice to get some pro playoff experience there as well. But it's unfortunate for him.
So Breen up, Kandari up, and Wotherspoon done for the season. Season-ending shoulder surgery. Let's go around the NHL and get started in the Big Apple.
The New York Rangers.
Well, it took 15 games, but Marty St. Louis finally has his first goal as a New York Ranger. He scored in the third goal for the Rangers in a 3-1 win over the Canucks in Alain Vigneault's return to Rogers Arena behind the bench. After the game, St. Louis spoke about finally scoring his first as a Ranger.
Oh, for sure. It's a big goal for me. Been fighting it a little bit, getting the back of the net, and it was a great play by Nasher and found a way to get some open ice there and obviously put it in. Felt pretty good about it.
The 38-year-old St. Louis now has 4 points in 15 games with the Rangers since the trade from Tampa, and New York has won 2 games in a row, giving him a 3-point cushion on the Flyers for second in the Metro Division with 90 points. The Rangers will wrap up their 4-game Western Conference road trip tomorrow night when they visit the Pepsi Center in Denver for a date with the Avalanche. This was a pretty nice one for Marty St. Louis. Pretty good moment for the New York Rangers there. You can definitely tell how popular Marty St. Louis is with this team, because the whole bench just explodes.
Remember when they were in here and he scored, and he was like, oh, and I remember when he scored, he kind of gave the whole, all right guys, I finally scored.
Yeah, here it is.
And then the goal got waved off because he kicked it in fairly, like, I think even then he was like, yeah, I kicked it in. You did. You, like, gave the old right foot. The old soccer pass.
Yeah.
It was good to see him score, and it was good to see the Rangers beat the Canucks, but they need more of that from Marty St. Louis. They gave up their captain to bring him in, and St. Louis is, I think we thought at the time, and there's still a pretty good, you know, argument to be made, that he's an upgrade offensively and in terms of firepower and compared to Callahan. But it hasn't played out that way. Maybe it takes a little bit of time for him to get into that groove. Maybe yesterday is what gets him in, and you cross your fingers if you're AV and the Rangers.
Yeah, I wonder if getting that first goal is one that really kind of sets Marty St. Louis free now for the Rangers. They have a good team, I think, in New York. They're a team that I think they definitely could beat the Flyers in that first round. It's going to be really close who wins the series between those two teams, but it's going to be a good one because I'm assuming it's going to be the Rangers and the Flyers. I mean, it could be something different, but that's the way it's shaping up right now.
Yeah.
But that was a huge goal for them. That was a huge win for them, for the Rangers. I'm not sure if we'll talk about the Canucks later on, but that pretty much all but eliminates them from the playoffs.
Well, there's an interesting clip we're going to play later from Ryan Kesler that we'll get to, and some pretty interesting words that he had to say. We'll do that around 3:45, and it's maybe sheds a little bit of light as to what's been going on in Vancouver this year, but we'll do that around 3:45 today.
Yeah, so Bad news for the Canucks with the loss, but the Rangers, they're starting to roll once again. They've taken 3 out of 4 out of Western Canada. They're now moving on to Colorado, and that's what's going on with the Rangers.
The Detroit Red Wings.
They'll be missing 2 key forwards when they welcome the Bruins to the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit tonight, as both Pavel Datsyuk and Daniel Alfredson will sit out with lower body injuries, and not to correct Will, because it's not what I'm doing. But in reality, that's kind of been the case all year long for the Red Wings. Oh, they're going to be without this many key forwards today. I mean, they're still without Zetterberg. They're still without Cleary. They're still without Erickson on the back end. Now Alfredson's not going to play. Datsyuk was going to be a game-time decision. Sounds like he'll be good to come back on Friday, but it has been nothing but injuries to key players in Detroit this year. Datsyuk's back skating after an injury to his left knee, but is not ready to play from a conditioning standpoint. He rested for a couple of weeks in early March to let the pain subside, and has only recently begun skating again. He doesn't know if he'll be ready for Friday's date with the Sabres either, and says right now he's a pretty frustrated Datsyuk.
Yeah, it's waiting too long to not waiting to wait out of play, and I would love to play any soon as possible.
The Red Wings will also be without Daniel Alfredson tonight, as GM Ken Holland said he's day-to-day with a lower body injury. Despite the injuries, the playoff push continues. I think Josh Humphries is suiting up as the fourth-line winger for the Red Wings tonight. Here's head coach Mike Babcock. Probably a bad choice.
Some better options.
Knows they're facing a really good team in the Bruins this evening.
The reality is, first time we played them, we didn't touch the puck. The second time, I thought we had a real close game in here, and the third time, or in their building, and the third time in here, they weren't that good, you know. So sometimes you catch the team at the right time. It doesn't look like we caught them at the right time. It looks like they're just mow everyone down right now. They're rolling, and their good players are scoring. So, you know, they got good team depth. They got a good team. They got excellent goaltending. So it'll be a tough test for us tonight.
It's
going to be fun.
It's the final matchup of 4 between these two original 6 franchises this season. Detroit leads the season series with 2 wins and 3 tries. The Red Wings seeking their 3rd consecutive victory and currently sit 1st in the wild card race in the Eastern Conference, 1 up on Columbus. Detroit has 84 points and 7 games remaining. So the Red Wings have got a tough test. They got the Boston Bruins, but, you know, it's almost like if we do around the NHL and we don't have new Red Wings injury news, mm-hmm. it's kind of like we're not doing our jobs. Because all you got to do is go look on the Red Wings website and you'll find new injury news that you didn't know of the day before. Like now Alfredson, who's been so important for them ever since Zetterberg.
He's been the veteran guy on that
team. He's been the only veteran guy. Because, yeah, everybody's down. And now he's out. And, of course, that's kind of what happens as you get older, and we understand that. But it's like, goodness gracious, can these guys catch an injury break this year?
And I really wonder what happens with Detroit if they do happen to get into the playoffs, which I honestly think they will. You get Alfredson back, you get Datsyuk back, you get Zetterberg back. Yeah, these guys are recovering from injuries, but these guys are all pretty fresh then for the playoffs. Can Detroit make some noise and maybe have some sort of an upset in round one? If it stands like it does today, it would be Detroit-Pittsburgh in round one. I'm not saying Pittsburgh's automatically going to walk over the Wings. If the Wings get healthy in time for the playoffs, they're a pretty tough team to go against.
And that's the biggest question. So Datsyuk close to returning, so sounds like he'll be good to go.
Should be good. Zetterberg, they said, should be back for playoffs.
Maybe.
If
they can get to round 2, it sounds like it's more likely he'll be back. Erickson, not sure. Cleary, not sure. Alfredson, we don't know what his status is going to be. So, I mean, if they get healthy, yeah, they might be able to be a handful for like, Pittsburgh or Boston.
And the guys that have came in, like Gustav Nyquist, and I mean, they haven't certainly not been bad since filling in. So, I mean, Detroit's, again.
Well, I mean, Nyquist is on pace to score 4 more goals in this game tonight against Boston because that's what he's doing.
That's what he should. He should have another
2-goal game. 22 goals in 27 for Gustav Nyquist. He has 27 goals all year, and 22 of them have come in his last 27 games. I still think Detroit's a playoff team. If they don't get healthy, though, I don't think they're a second-round playoff team. But even if they get in, I still am very much banging the drum for Mike Babcock to be at the very least in the Jack Adams final 3, but yeah. I think he should win it if this Red Wings team ends up being a playoff team.
And considering that he's been distracted for the majority of the season with the Olympics team as well, so then you got to factor that into it.
And then you saw what the... And I know that the Olympics doesn't factor into it, but as Elliot Friedman told us a couple of weeks ago, it's not like voters forget. So the job he did at the Olympics with Team Canada probably could play into it too.
Yeah, it shouldn't, but it will.
Unofficially play into it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible story what they've got going on in Detroit.
That's what's going on with the Red Wings.
The Anaheim Ducks.
Well, with four wins in their past five outings, the Ducks are looking to continue their strong push towards the Pacific Division title as they enter tonight's game with a one-point cushion over the Sharks. One of the reasons for the recent strong play from the Ducks is their depth scoring, and according to defenseman Stefan Robida, it's something that must continue into the playoffs if they want to see success.
You look in the playoffs every year, like there's always a tight matchup against the top players, and obviously we're pretty lucky we have two of the best players in the league playing on the same line. They're pretty amazing, but I think you need depth scoring and you need other guys to chip in. You can't always rely on Getzey and Perry to score goals every night and create all the offense. And we got enough guys that can do it, and I think it's very positive.
Ducks still hold a two games in hand lead on the San Jose Sharks and do play them once more this season as the race for the division crown heats up. Anaheim will be looking to win their third straight game tonight as they welcome the lowly Oilers to the Honda Center, and Edmonton is playing the second half of back-to-back games after losing in San Jose last night. If you're betting on this one, take the Ducks, I think, if you're playing your sports select for this one. But what do you think of the Ducks going to the playoffs? Are they a team that I know they can get past round one?
Really? You're betting on the Ducks tonight?
To win this one? Yeah, I mean, but again,
that's why you tune in, people.
I'm on a hot streak with my predictions here, so I can take Anaheim confidently
in this one.
So I'm going to take the Ducks in this one, but in all seriousness, when you look at Anaheim, going
go
into the
Toronto, go.
It was right. If you're picking the Ducks in the playoffs, what do you think? What do you make of this team? I still don't 100% trust them. I think if they win the Pacific Division, they could probably get out of round one. I think if they play LA, I don't trust them beating the Kings in a seven-game series. What do you make of Anaheim?
Well, I mean, I've talked about it so many times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they need to win the division. Looks like they're going to win the division. They beat Minnesota or whoever, or Dallas or Phoenix. They're better than all three of those teams, and those would be one of the three teams they play in the first round. And I got to give Edmonton a little credit. They actually gave the Sharks quite the scare, and they made the Sharks buck right up in the third period there. And the Sharks had to score those two third period goals just to get a one goal win over the Oilers. So, yeah, you're usually betting against the Oilers, whether they're on the second half of a back to back or not.
You're betting against the Oilers no matter who they play.
But, yeah, Anaheim's been playing a whole lot better. And it looks like they had built up, even though San Jose was able to surpass them, let's not forget that Anaheim had built up a pretty significant cushion earlier in the year, so it gave them more of a chance to have a later season slide and still be able to make up for it and win a division. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now. They're back to playing a whole lot more like we're used to them playing, and it looks like they're going to do what they need to do, and that's win a division.
Yeah, and they still have a one-point lead, two games in hand as well, so that's what's going on with the Anaheim Ducks.
The Phoenix Coyotes.
After being passed in the wild card standings by the Stars last night, the Yotes see this as a perfect time to snap a two-game losing streak tonight when they visit the Kings. With only five games remaining and caught in the middle of a dogfight for a playoff spot in the Western Conference, head coach Dave Tippett spoke about the level of desperation for his team.
Every game is different. They're going to be tight games. You got every team is playing for one reason or another, whether it's to make the playoffs or get prepared. The teams that have secured spots or teams that are pushing. So every game brings a new dynamic. But for our group, we're talking about what we have to do, keeping it in-house and prepare and play like we can, and hopefully the results will take care of themselves.
Phoenix tied with Dallas in terms of points at 85, but they do have the edge in that wild card race because they've played, or the Stars have the edge in the wild card race because they played one fewer game. So Phoenix currently on the outside looking in if the playoffs were to start today. Coyotes will play their final game of the season against the Kings tonight at the Staples Center in Phoenix, 3-1 in four games against LA so far this season. So their season series against LA ends tonight, but it is a tough ask for the Coyotes as they fell last night. They lost to the Winnipeg Jets, and now they've got a game against the LA Kings on the road. I'm just hoping that whatever the results are, because I think it's pretty clear that anybody predicting what's going to happen, it's going to be Dallas. No, today I feel like it's going to be Phoenix. Tomorrow it's going to be Dallas. Instead, let's just hope that April 13th in Phoenix, these two teams are playing for a playoff spot, because Dallas and Phoenix do meet one another on the final game of the regular season.
It'll be fun. For sure to see a game like that, a win and you're in kind of scenario. Haven't seen that in a few years in the NHL, so that would be pretty cool to see. Still don't know really who I could. There's those two teams are so close. It seems like every week one of them's on a roll and the other one's struggling. So it's going to come down right to the wire. I think that game is going to matter the last game of the year.
One more stop as we take you on a spin around the NHL.
The Chicago Blackhawks.
Already without Patrick Kane for the remainder of the season and possibly a bit more with a knee injury, the Hawks announced that they will be without their captain for an extended period in an attempt to make sure he's 100% for the playoffs. Here's head coach Joel Quenneville on the status of Jonathan Taves.
He's day-to-day. He's going to be 100% for the playoffs. We're not going to play him for the rest of these six games, and so he'll be ready to go. Yeah, I think that I didn't like the hit. At that time, what could you have done differently? You can look at all the different options. There's probably no great option right at that time with a 2-1 hockey game. Later in the second period, getting even is something that how is addressed is something that you can talk about. The options weren't great. Tricky. It was a tricky one. Not an easy one to say exactly what should have happened.
Taves will miss the final six games of the regular season, but good news for the defending cup champions is that they expect their captain to be in the lineup at 100% for game one of round one. Chicago is in a bit of a slump right now. They have dropped four of their past five. They look to snap their current three-game losing streak when they welcome Minnesota to the United Center tomorrow night.
So, I mean, when it comes down to it, the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be just fine. There's going to be no trouble, and I really have no worries about what the Chicago Blackhawks are going to be. However, you know, you're without Kane right now, you're without Taves right now, you're probably not going to surpass the Colorado Avalanche. They've now taken a 3-point edge on you. We'll talk about that a little bit later on.
Yeah, that's...
But do you have any worries about what Chicago's going to be?
No, and the thing is, too, Chicago might have a couple injuries to key guys, but Colorado's going to be without Matt Duchene for round one as well, and I know we're going to get into it a little bit. I don't have any worries with the Hawks. I think this is the smart move. Rest your key guys. It's too risky. Why bring them back and have them aggravate that injury? You don't need them. You know where you're going in the playoffs, so let them rest. It's fine. Even if you lose every game down the stretch, who cares?
Around the NHL every day at 3 o'clock for Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every NHL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Pat Steinberg and Josh Humphries along with you as we continue on the program. Again, the Flames news, they have recalled Chris Breen and Mark Kandari. A lot of people wondering, how can they recall Kandari because he was playing in Chicago? Well, what happened was, the Flames loaned Kandari to Chicago of the American League. Chicago, who's the affiliate of the St. Louis Blues, agreed to take on Kandari, but he remains Flames property, and they can recall him at any time. That's exactly what they did. So Kandari up, Breen up, and on top of that, Tyler Weatherspoon shut down with season-ending shoulder surgery. That's the news out of Flames camp today. And again, unfortunate news on Weatherspoon because... he had been playing some pretty good hockey over the last little bit. Couple of texts on kind of what we've been talking about throughout the afternoon. This one says, I bet keeping Camilleri at the trade deadline will also improve the limited chance they have to re-sign him. Interesting. I mean, and you know, the way Camilleri's played since the trade deadline, he's got to feel like he's in a pretty good groove. Has to like the way he's playing with Michael Backlund.
His value's gone up.
And, well, not only has his value gone up, but, you know, just in the way it's gone hockey. So maybe he's like, you know what?
This might be a good fit.
Backlund guy that I'm playing with right now, you know, we've got a good chemistry going. Maybe I do think a little bit harder about returning to Calgary.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Backlund's been great for the Flames this year. They've found some great chemistry together. I'm just glad that I've always been a fan of Backlund, and you've always, you know, slagged him all the time in the years past. So, but, I mean, hey, in all honesty, it's good to see for Camilleri. There's a lot of positives that would make him want to stay. If he likes the city, enjoys it here, if he does believe that this rebuild can be done in two or three seasons where he's still going to have some good years ahead of him when this team competes for a playoff spot, if the Flames can convince him of that, then why would you not want to stay? You're here, you're comfortable, it's better than having to move again.
How about this? You're the ladies' man.
Uh-oh.
Guy says, you'll have more luck with the ladies if you went by Pat the Pigeon Steinberg. What do you think?
I wouldn't suggest introducing yourself at first, but if...
What about just as like instead of saying, hey, I'm Pat the Pigeon, why don't I just say, what's up, I'm the Pigeon?
Then I guarantee you're going home alone.
Yeah.
Probably. I'll tell you that right
now. What do I have a better shot at? Hey, I'm the Pigeon, or hey, DJ Powerplay. What do I have a better shot at?
Both will get... like a follow-up question from the girl being like, is that your actual name? And then you'll have to explain the story. So just kind of, I don't know which one's a cooler story. Probably the pigeon one, because then you can at least be like, yeah, I got my own place, my own condo. Sort
and there was
thing,
a guy yesterday, Pat Poop Deck Steinberg. I'm like, that one, too.
Yeah, that one. Use that one. See where that goes.
I think not only would I not get any female interest, I might get beat up if I tried doing that at the bar. Hey, I'm the pigeon. So I won't do that. He's Josh Humphries. My name is Pat Steinberg. And, hey, just how promising was yesterday for the Toronto Blue Jays? Next on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Big Show continues, brought to you by The Comedy Cave. For the comedy you crave, come to The Cave. Tastefully funny, incredibly affordable. Tickets always $10. For dinner specials and showtimes, log on to comedycave.com. Sports in the afternoon. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Strike three call, ball game. Blue Jays win it 4-2 here in St. Pete to tie up this four-game series at a game apiece.
And game two of the season for the Toronto Blue Jays, a whole lot better than game one. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you. Game three of the season is just over an hour and a half away. First pitch, 5:10 Calgary time as the Jays and Rays continue. We'll join it in progress at 6 o'clock Calgary time here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's go down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline. Welcome in the Jays analyst on Sportsnet Radio Network. His name is Joe Siddle, and joins us right now. Joe, appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much for taking some time out with us this afternoon, so close to game time. I guess, were we talking about a little bit of a sigh of relief for Jays fans after game one and then seeing what we saw yesterday in game two?
Yeah, it was a really big win for the Jays last night, and I think Drew Hutchison really stepped up for the Blue Jays after a tough night the first night. Clearly things didn't go the way they anticipated or the way they wanted to. But who'd have thought you'd rely on a 23-year-old to take to the mound and carry you to a victory in the second game of the season?
Yeah, 5 1/3 for Hutchison, 3 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts, and his first start in the majors since June of 2012. Just how impressive was he?
He was real good. He was right on. You know, he had a great spring. He looked good all spring, and he just carried it right into the season. And what really sticks out for me is just his mound presence and composure, his maturity out there on the mound in a lot of sticky situations there. For a 23-year-old, he looked like a crafty veteran out on the mound last night. Thought what he did really well was after the Adam Lind homer in the first inning. It's a big thing for a team to come back and shut down the opponent after scoring runs like that, and he did that. He had a first inning. He got through it. He ran into a little trouble in the second inning with a couple walks. It looks like he was coming out of his delivery a little bit, maybe lost the feel. But as good pitchers do, he found a way to make a pitch and execute a key pitch, get the double play ball to get out of the inning. So he did a really good job, and then he cruised a little bit after that. He probably would have wanted to go a little bit longer last night, but I think John Gibbons let him know that later in the season or a few starts down the road, he may do just that. But at this point in time, they handed the ball over to that bullpen, and they were able to get it done.
The 5 1/3 that he pitched against the Rays yesterday, how do we see his workload kind of increasing as this season goes along?
Well, I think it's going to do just that. It's going to increase each start. That's the purpose anyway. Each starter wants to throw a little bit more each time out, and I think you're going to be especially careful with somebody like Drew because he's coming off that surgery, and he didn't even pitch in the big leagues last year, and really he didn't pitch a lot last year coming back. So you've got to be very careful, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to baby him. I think they're going to throw him out there. Last night was the first start of the season. I think it's logical to do that and get him out of there in that situation. And I think, too, the lineup was at the top there. You had some of the horses coming up, so why not bring in somebody like a Loop, and then you've got Delabar and Santos to close it out. And, again, it didn't go as planned for those two, but they were able to escape with the victory.
It's been so long. I mean, Drew hadn't pitched at the major league level for a year and a half. He kind of, in a lot of ways, became out of sight, out of mind. But he's still just 23 years old. What type of potential are we talking about a guy who doesn't turn 24 until August?
Well, as I said, my first time to see him this spring, and it was pretty impressive what I saw. And not only the stuff, the first thing I look at in a pitcher is the stuff, and he's got quality pitches. He's a fastball, slider, changeup guy. But what really impressed me about Hutchison was his fastball command. And all good pitchers will tell you it all starts with fastball command. If you cannot command the fastball, then the other pitches don't work off of it. But when he commands the fastball, as he did last night and as I've seen him do all spring, that's what's been very impressive to me. Because there's several situations when, for example, he gets an 0-2 count and Deandre Navarro calls for like a fastball in. And what Drew Hutchison does is he gets it in there. A lot of pitchers don't execute that pitch right. And he was able to do that, and then he feeds off that slider and got real good stuff. But as I said, I think it's the total package. It's just the mound presence out there and the confidence in his abilities.
Jays analyst Joe Siddle's with us down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline. 5:10 Calgary time for first pitch in Tampa, Game 3 of this four-game season-opening series between the Rays and the Jays. We didn't see Adam Lind on Monday, but goes 2-for-3 with that three-run home run early in the game yesterday. What are fair expectations for Adam Lind this year, Joe?
Well, I think fair expectations is for him to continue to break out. He's a power guy. He's really struggled against left-handed pitching, and he's not in the lineup again tonight. Moises Sierra's getting the start, and that's a combination of two things. I mean, even like opening night, David Price is very difficult. He's a dominant pitcher against left-handed hitters. And then tonight, Matt Moore is another real good lefty, so he's not going to play tonight, but he's going to take advantage of his opportunities against right-handed pitchers, and I have a feeling you're going to see Adam Lind against some left-handers too, because he is just that good a hitter. He hasn't had that success against lefties, but I think it's coming. He was able to get one, a base hit last night off the reliever Ramos. But, you know, sometimes you might sacrifice a little of the power numbers against lefties just to have a better at-bat and stay in on them a little bit better. But I expect good things, Adam Lind. He had a great spring, and he's carrying it right into the season now.
I bet you've been asked about 1,000 questions since Monday about Jose Reyes. But when we saw him go out in the first at-bat of the season and now on the 15-day DL with the hamstring tightness, as a Jays fan, should you maybe be prepared for one or two more instances like this where he might miss some short periods of time this season? Would that be a fair thing to prepare yourself for?
Well, I would think first what you should prepare yourself for is possibly not being back in 15 days as indicated, because these are types of injuries that linger, and the last thing you want to do right now with the troubles he's had is bring him back too early. So I think when he does come back, they're going to make sure that he is 100%. He's had history with these hamstrings, and that's a problem in itself. But the last thing you want to do is bring him back early again and have another setback. So it might be more than the 2 weeks. It could be 3 weeks. It could be a month. But in any event, they're going to have to grin and bear it and get through these times. If Jonathan Diaz can fill in like he did last night, they'll be just fine. But hopefully it's sooner than later, but I wouldn't anticipate anything too soon.
What does he bring to the Blue Jays when healthy?
Oh, he's such a catalyst at the top of the lineup. It's just a huge hole, not only defensively, the way he plays shortstop and the way he can range to balls, and then his arm is unreal, and that's another thing that I was really able to notice watching him in spring training. But then he's your leadoff hitter. He's your catalyst at the top of the lineup, and when you have a guy like that to get on base for the big boys coming up behind him, that's really big, and that's a huge hole when you know, as we said, no slight against Jonathan Diaz, had a great game last night, but there's just no comparison offensively, and that's going to be a big mess for the Blue Jays at the top of their lineup.
Some final thoughts with Joe Siddle, our Jays analyst down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline. Jays and Rays at 5:10. We've got the game joined in progress for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. At 35 years old, another season for Mark Burley. He makes his first start of the year tonight in Tampa. What are you expecting from the number three man in this rotation?
Well, I expect Mark Burley to just keep doing what he's been doing for the last 13 years. I talked to Mark Burley early in spring training, and I asked him what he expects of himself. And you know what he said? He said he expects to all he wants to do is pitch 200 innings. And the reason he says that is because he said, if I pitch 200 innings, that means, number one, I pitched pretty well because I was in the game deep most of the time. And he said, number two, that means I didn't get hurt. And it's a pretty good point, because if you pitch deep into games, you're giving to your team a chance to win each time out there every 5 days, and that's what you want, that's what you expect out of your starting pitcher every night.
You got two more games before you come back, and you're getting closer and closer to the home opener. I guess your expectations and your overall excitement level for the upcoming home opener.
Well, the overall excitement level is always there. It was a fun night, actually. I mean, we had a lot of fun in Montreal, and then we had the Rays home opener here, which is exciting, the big crowds and all. But, yes, going home, there's nothing like a home opener and being home with the home crowd behind you. That's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure that place is going to be rocking Friday night, and especially to top it all off, it's going to be against the Yankees. So looking forward to lots of excitement in Toronto.
Joe, have a good call tonight. Thanks so much for doing this so close to game time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure. Take care.
There is Joe Siddle, the RJ's analyst down the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline, Sportsnet Radio Jays analyst here on the big show. So the Blue Jays and Tampa Bay Rays go tonight, and I guess you got to be breathing a whole lot easier if you're the Jays, John. Josh, after a win yesterday, because everything went wrong in game one. That's game one of 162, though. So you saw things a little bit closer to maybe being what we could see this year. Good performance on the mound from Drew Hutchison. Some timely offense earlier from Adam Lind, and they were able, even though the bullpen kind of didn't do exactly what they wanted, they still were able to hold on and come away with a victory. Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, it allows all the Jays fans to take a huge sigh of relief after that, because you had all the stuff that happened with Jose Reyes getting hurt, R.A. Dickey getting lit up in game one, things not going that way. I'm sure all the Jays fans were just, here we go again. This is what we expected, you know, same old, same old. You come back, you get a win, it kind of lets everyone breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Whole city of Toronto, I think, yesterday, both their sports teams finally get a win at a very critical time for both the Leafs and the Jays. So I guess all is okay in the center of the universe right now.
Our texters are on fire today. We've been talking about nicknames. We've figured out that Josh's nickname amongst his group is J-Hump. His other friends' nicknames are Cheese and Steve-O, and he has some pretty brutal nicknames.
None of those. I don't even know a guy named Steve.
None of your friends' nicknames are Cheese?
None of my friends' nicknames are Cheese either.
And so we were trying to figure, because DJ Powerplay was my DJ name when I was like 19 and 20 years old, and really a stud with the ladies. And then, you know, we were talking about my pigeon issue on my deck. Mm-hmm. So there was the guy on the morning show yesterday said, let's refer to him as Pat Poop Deck Steinberg. That one I thought was quite clever. And then there is Pat the Pigeon Steinberg. I thought, I asked you, being the ladies' man, if I were to introduce myself to somebody as the pigeon, would I be successful? Some other good nicknames. Pat the Pony. I don't know if I like that so much.
Nope.
Pigeon Whisperer. We got a text from Stevie Siegel who says, hey, Pat, want to be best friends? Although, as a pigeon, I don't know if I'm quite on the same, like, seagulls are less verminy, which is not a word, but less verminy than pigeons. Like, pigeons are just urban vermin who are eating leftover food and defecating on people's decks. And then this one.
What are pigeons doing?
That's what I'm saying. That's what pigeons are.
Oh, sorry.
That's what pigeons are, not urban doing the same? Vermin. Well, they're confined to the water.
They go to the dump.
Yeah, they hang out at the dump and by the river. Like,
Lake Sokomi.
Not where I live. And I like this one to finish up. Hey, Patty, try this pickup line. Hi there. You've heard of the Birdman of Alcatraz. Well, I'm the Birdman of insert name of condo complex here. I'm the Birdman of Vantage Point.
Oh, that's where you live.
I don't know if that's necessarily going to be, if it's going to be a working pickup line either. No. The best bet for this guy, just don't try pickup lines, because they don't work.
Pickup lines are really overrated. They don't work whatsoever. I mean, if you're going to meet a girl, especially if you're at a bar or something, you just sit down, introduce yourself, just be calm, be cool, then don't try to, you know, impress her right off the hop.
Wow. I mean, not everybody can be like you. Josh just goes to a bar, leans on it, and puts the vibe out, and the girls come to him, right? That's how it works for you.
You've seen me at the bar, and you know that's not how it works.
It's very true.
You can't argue with my success and the numbers I put up, but I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you. Just be yourself. Just be yourself, and it works the best. That's the best policy to go for.
Oh, you're under the mistaken impression that I want to be like you. That's funny. Yeah. He's
Josh Humphreys. Nobody wants to be like me.
Nobody wants to be
me
either,
though.
And by the way,
JMR, we got your text. We can't read it on air, but well done.
That's pretty funny.
Well played.
He is Josh Humphreys. My name is Pat Steinberg. And next up, some nostalgia and reminiscing in Vancouver. I'll tell you what we mean by that next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Proud home for the Flames and Hitmen. Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Landeskog stops the hold, rides it down low, gives it off in the corner now for McKinnon. Cross ice pass, Barry holds for Landeskog. Down low, shot, score! It went off the skate of Jack Johnson. Landeskog, the game-winning goal in overtime. And the Avs beat the Jackets by a final score of 3-2.
How about some captainly heroics for the Colorado Avalanche yesterday? Welcome back to the Big Show. Steinberg and Humphreys along with you in studio on your Wednesday drive home. Gabe Landeskog, the captain of the Colorado Avalanche, scores in the final 5 minutes of the third period to tie a game with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and then wins it in the final 30 seconds of overtime, and another massive win for the Avalanche. Josh, they increased their lead over the Chicago Blackhawks to 3 points for second in the Central Division. We know these two teams are going to meet in the postseason in the first round. Now the only thing that needs to be decided is whether it's going to be Colorado or Chicago with home ice. And the Avalanche did themselves another pretty good favor with that win yesterday. And knowing that Chicago is without Taves and without Kane for the rest of the year, and already has a deficit to make up, and the Avs have played fewer games, it looks like Colorado's going to get home ice, and obviously that can change. But I kind of look at it and I say, you know what? It's important for Colorado to get home ice. I think that's an important thing for them to get, to know they're the top seed, to be able to get the potential of 4 of 7 on home ice. Like, that's important for them.
That's going to go a long way for them.
I don't think it means as much to Chicago. If Chicago starts on the road, I don't see them as any less of a chance of winning this series. I still think that they are the same group they would be if they finished in a higher seed and got home ice. I mean,
and I think Chicago showed that enough. Chicago showed that it's not important to them by shutting down Taves, by shutting down Kane until
exactly,
the playoffs.
Exactly.
They're not too concerned about these guys being there or where they finish. They're confident in their ability to go on the road and steal a game or two out of Colorado, but it does, I mean, for the Avalanche, it's not vital, but it's pretty important for them to get that home game first because they need to have the crowd behind them to start that series. This is the first time for pretty much everybody on that team. There's a good chunk of them. It's the first time they're going to be in the playoffs and playoff action. So it's a lot smoother to start at home, have the crowd behind you, because you go into the Madhouse in Madison, if you're the Colorado Avalanche and no playoff experience, that's a whole different animal you're going into for your first couple playoff games. And I don't think Colorado comes out of Chicago with any wins in this series, let alone if they have to go into the first two there into that nut house. So it's going to be a great series, but I think Colorado really does need home ice advantage. I think you're right. They've pretty much earned it with where they sit right now. The game's in hand.
Who has playoff experience?
Like Corey Sarich will. Tangy, but he's gone.
Duchesne does. He played in 6 games against San Jose. O'Reilly was in that series, too. But there's not
Sarich,
a ton.
Sarich obviously has a ton. And Varlamov, I believe, was there for a bit with the Capitals
He was in a second-round series with Washington against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago.
And Jagr does, but I don't think J.S. Jagr is a factor because he's not going to play any games.
He does not have any NHL playoff experience.
I can't even get a regulation win, let alone a playoff series.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And I think home ice for the Avalanche ends up being important. I don't think it ends up being that important for Chicago. And just as a side note, how devastating is that loss for Columbus? I mean, you've got a 2-0 lead after 40. The Maple Leafs win, and all of a sudden you only get a single point. That's a pretty tough single point to give up, specifically knowing you had a 2-0 lead after two periods.
You still have the games in hand if you're Columbus, which is your saving grace, and the one game you have in hand is that makeup against the Dallas Stars, which you have a 1-0 lead in, by the way. Remember, Columbus is when they replay the game. They still have the lead in it, but that's tough. And some bad breaks, those goals going off of defensemen into the net, going off each other and scoring these. Look at the TJ Brody goal. Same sort of situation Columbus is going through. They just couldn't get a break. But I think Columbus will be okay. I'm pretty confident to say Columbus will be that team in the playoffs just because they still have the two games in hand on everybody else around them.
Want to take you back to last night in Vancouver and kind of before the game. So Alain Vigneault and the New York Rangers are in town. Obviously, AV had a ton of success, one of the most successful coaches ever to coach the Vancouver Canucks. Gets fired at the end of this past season after they were eliminated in 4 games by the San Jose Sharks. And, you know, a lot of people thought it was probably time to move on. In comes John Tortorella. AV goes to New York. Tortorella comes from New York to Vancouver. And things have not been the same ever since. So Vigneault and the Rangers are in Vancouver. And Ryan Kesler, who flourished under Alain Vigneault, and those two in their time together saw Kesler turn into one of the preeminent two-way forwards in this league. Saw him have a 40-goal season. Saw him be a big part of a run to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in the summer of 2011. Listen to this comment as Kessler was asked to kind of reflect on his time with Alain Vigneault yesterday, kind of prior to the game, and listen to the comments of Vancouver center Iceman.
No, I think it wasn't just him. I think it was his assistants too. I think we had a good power play. We had a good penalty kill. He did a great job of giving us the room and we had a team where we were very deep up front. We played the right way, like he used to say, and we dominated teams.
Like, all that was missing from that was, why do birds suddenly appear in the background, and a Kleenex for Kessler to wipe his cheeks because he was crying. Like, it sounded like he was sitting back and remembering the good old days, mm-hmm. and then harshly come into reality and say, wait, oh, and now this is the situation we're in with this new guy. And I heard that clip today and I'm like, whew. I think that gives us a pretty good insight as to, how good they had it and now how maybe bad they have it with John Tortorella. I mean, that's not a good fit, whether it was time to move on from Alain Vigneault in Vancouver or not.
Which I think it was, because you have this, the playoff failures.
You've won one playoff game in two years, right?
So it was time to move on, but
did they make the right choice? I mean, that clip probably tells you no, they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean,
I miss you, baby.
Strange, and that really gives you an insight of the relationship the players have with John Tortorella in that room. Not big fans of him right now. Not a lot of fans, and it really gives you the whole Ryan Kessler situation as well. That, things have not gone well with John Tortorella. Ryan Kessler, does he want out? It sounds like from there, he's a guy that really wants out because he doesn't agree with what's going on with the team now. He feels like he wants to be on a team where it's let the players do their thing instead of trying to coach them and do some systems all the time, so... Yeah, not good. That's not a good thing to say.
I just love how this clip goes from him kind of being, and then you can
it's like a light switch. He's like, man, it used to be awesome.
Yeah, slowly, like, you can kind of imagine him looking up and smiling, mm. and then one of those bubbles popping up, and then him and Alain Vigneault running through a grassy meadow hand in hand, and Kessler wearing a sundress, and here's just listen to it. Now think of that as this continues.
No, I think it wasn't just him. I think it was his assistants too. I think we had a good power play. We had a good penalty kill.
Wait a second.
He did a great job of giving us the room and we had a team where we were very deep up front. We played the right way, like he used to say, and we dominated.
By the end, I just wanted Alain Vigneault to burst in through the doors and they just embrace for 5 minutes and. So that kind of gives you some insight as to how things have been in Vancouver this year. It's a pretty disappointing situation. To me, there are three teams that kind of top the list, mm-hmm. of, where a team should have been and where they ended up being. Mm-hmm. And the disappointments go, and I don't know if there's an order, but it's Ottawa, it's...
Islanders?
The Islanders, and it's the Vancouver Canucks.
And that's your top three in order for disappointment?
Yeah. I don't know if that's an order. But.
Yeah, I would say the Canucks would be probably my biggest disappointment just because the talent they have on that team and where they expected to be. They bring John Tortorella in. This is the guy that's really going to bear down and really going to change the way this franchise goes. We're going to be a tougher team to play. We're going to be that hard, solid team. And then nothing ends up happening with them. They end up actually being a lot worse in the situation they were in with AV. And that was the thing. A lot of people said the reins were too loose when Alain Vigneault was there as the coach. And that's what the Canucks needed. They just needed a guy to come in there and, be that hard-ass guy. Not the way, and obviously they can't react to that kind of guy.
Kessler can't quit AV. I like that text. Can't quit you. Man, you teased this Kessler thing forever ago. Spit it out. I'll punch you in the pigeon. Usually I'd be like, oh, physical violence, that's a block.
I'm waiting for the block to come.
But that one's kind of funny because punch you in the pigeon. And then I like this one for a nickname. Notorious P.I.G. for the pigeon. For if I'm the pigeon, Notorious P.I.G.
It's a good one.
We do sometimes have some lowest common denominator texts, but every once in a while, actually more often than not, we get some pretty good ones that come through. Like, I got to give credit to our texters here.
The IQ in this room just dropped.
I like...
You still rattled?
This is the... Well, I'm not rattled. Look, it was amateur hour to start the 3 o'clock hour because we had like 13 things happen. I'm like, can we do this? Not going. And then your mic's on and you're talking and you're like, hey, man, look, you can't do this. And our outstanding engineer almost drops an F-bomb on the air. And so I come back and I'm like,
yeah, put a dollar in the swear jar there, bud.
Goodness gracious.
Hey, good times, though.
I like this. Ryan, you had me at good power play. All right, let's end this show.
It's time to end our time together. It's so funny to see the Canucks in such dismay, isn't it?
I thought that was hilarious seeing Kessler reminisce on his time with Alain Vigneault. And then
what does John Tortorella think when he hears that?
This new girl won't let me watch Seinfeld, and she doesn't let me go out with the boys, and I have to eat a low cholesterol diet, and it's kind of like the new coach in John Tortorella. Have yourself a wonderful day. We're back at Shanks tomorrow. He's Josh Humphries. Unfortunately, you're stuck with me for 2 more hours. We got the big story on the big show, focusing in on Brian Burke next. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Just so you know, it's totally okay to talk about sports all the time. We do, and we are fine. Calgary sports fans, we are with you all the time. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.